Baseball has always been a game of inches. Now, it's also a game of seconds. T-Mobile and MLB have teamed up to bring ABS Challenge to all 29 ballparks across the U.S. This isn't a minor upgrade. This is the most significant new technology in the history of the sport, and it's powered by T-Mobile. With every pitch thrown, ABS Challenge uses real-time precision to verify the call, giving them the support they need. No delays, no guesswork, just accuracy at the speed the game demands. Thanks to ABS Challenge, T-Mobile is helping power the moments that define the game. When performance and reliability are non-negotiable, MLB turns to T-Mobile. That's not a coincidence. That's what happens when the most innovative network in the country powers the most data-driven sport in the world. T-Mobile powers MLB's most ambitious technology, and America's best network powers your connection to baseball, home or away, every pitch, every game, every day. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Major League Baseball trademarks and copyrights are used with permission of Major League Baseball. Visit MLB.com. T-Mobile, best mobile network in the U.S., according to Ookla speed test. Based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, first half 2026. Ookla trademarks used under license and reprinted with permission.
This game could still be a barometer, because if we look good on the O-line, it's like, okay, we've made a big jump.
I'm going to be bold and say that we will. It's going to look really good on the offensive line.
It's good stuff. It should be.
For sure.
For sure.
They want to have a 7-on-7 drill. We want to make it a fist fight.
In West Virginia, we got a lot of grit. We got a lot of hardworking people. Don't ever quit.
No matter what you do to them, you can't break their spirit. And you can't kill them. Knock them down 100 times, they'll get up 101.
No doubt.
Don't ever quit. West Virginia Mountaineers, don't ever quit.
Mountaineer fans,
love them.
Built for it.
God bless the Mountaineers, and God bless West Virginia.
And now, recorded from the CRW studios in Almost Heaven, West Virginia, it's time for the Country Roads webcast.
What's going on, Mountaineer Nation? Welcome back into the CRW podcast here, and it's that time. It's game week, and we are ready to preview the first game of the WVU football season as the Mountaineers get set to take on Coastal Carolina. It is our preview and predictions episode, our first one of the season here as we get season 9 of the CRW podcast rolling in full form now. Hopefully you guys checked out our season prediction roundtable, and we're ready to dive into this opening game against Coastal Carolina. Before we get into the particulars and the matchups and all of that fun stuff, of course, I'm joined by my co-host Steven.
What's going on, everybody?
And Brad.
And we back.
Back at it. Back like we never left, boys. But how are you guys feeling here heading into year two of the Rich Rod 2.0 era? Just kind of some opening thoughts here before we head into, you know, the start of the WVU football season. How are you feeling, Steven?
Pretty good. You know, right on cue. Wildly optimistic. You know, it's right about this time that I think that West Virginia can win games that they probably actually can't, and I give them credit where they probably shouldn't get credit for, and then I get abruptly, you know, struggling with reality within a week's time. So I'm enjoying this moment like I always do. We're undefeated at this time, watching some games that we watched in week zero with UNC and TCU. Already starting to see some teams that were supposed to be good that aren't. Some teams that weren't supposed to be good that are. So I'm hoping that strikes for WVU.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the best time of the year, right? You got the ultimate optimism right now heading into the season. Everyone feels like they can win every game on the schedule. And, of course, that's how we're feeling as Mountaineer fans heading into this year as well. And you got to love it. You got to love heading into week one here. And what I like about this one is that, you know, a matchup against an FBS D1 opponent versus, you know, someone that you're going to run away with the game against. Although West Virginia is favored heavily in this game, at least it's, you know, an opponent that's been pretty good in recent years. That's what kind of excites me, of course, to go along with all the festivities involved with the Pat White number retirement and the white out again for the first time since 2008. So a lot of stuff to get you excited for this one, in addition to it just being the first game of the season. Brad, what about you? How are you feeling about this one, man?
Boy, I'm excited. It is that, or at least it has been, the football weather the last couple of days. It's about to get hot, but I mean, it's just had you in the mood to watch some dudes crack some heads. You know, like, it's just, it's an exciting time. And Rich Rod, year two, V2, or whatever you want to look at it as. And I'm excited. Like, we've been talking about some. I went back through and actually watched the Georgia game for the first time the other game, the day, the Sugar Bowl. You know, I know, shame on me. Shame on me for not having seen it first, but, you know, I wanted to watch it. You know, and it really got me excited to see this year, because I think that, you know, Rich Rod should have a few more pieces in place this year, and it should look a lot better. So, you know, going into this year, I think, as always, to me, these first three games are all about the eye test. What does it look like? Can you see visible improvement? You know, I like Steven said, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, boy. And I did that for Neil Brown for 6 years. You know, so it's just all about, hey, what does it look like over the next few ones? And I think that we got a chance to be really good if things work out the way they're supposed to.
Completely agree, man. Completely agree. I think that we've got some really good pieces on this team. I'm excited about this offense. I'm hopeful for this defense. And it all starts on September 5th as we get set to take on Coastal Carolina. That's what we're here to talk about. So let's get into some details about the game, and then we'll break down some of the matchups. Of course, September 5th at noon is the kickoff time. You can tune into this one on TNT or HBO Max, as we said. It's the whiteout, all white for five, I believe is what they've termed it as far as the promotional content is concerned. West Virginia currently favored by 21.5 at the time that we're recording this. So heavy favorites in this game, which will be the second all-time meeting between West Virginia and Coastal Carolina. The other meeting coming back in 2010. West Virginia won that one 31-0. But Coastal Carolina's improved a lot since then. They haven't had as much success in the past 3 years with Tim Beck as the head coach, which is why they decided to move on from him. But from 2020 to 2022, they had a 31-7 combined record, including two 11-win seasons. So this is not a bad program that West Virginia is facing. They had a lot of success under Jamie Chadwell. But following his departure, they went with Tim Beck. Things kind of went downhill a little bit, which is why they end up with Ryan Beard now as their new head coach. Heading into this season, this will be his first game as the head coach at Coastal Carolina after going 7-5 at Missouri State last year. So opening thoughts on this matchup, how are you feeling about Coastal Carolina coming into town, Stephen?
Feeling pretty good initially. I think this is a good test for game one. You know, like I said, I think that they're, like you mentioned, they got a new coach. I think they're pretty jacked up about that. I still don't think that they're going to be much improved, or that much improved within the games for game one of this season, especially going on the road to a place like Morgantown, you know, and having to come in and play us. But I think it's a good test for our offensive line to show what they get, you know, the improvements up front. And I think it's going to be a big day for our running game. I look for Cam Cook to go off.
That's what I'm hoping for. Get a big, you know, start to the season for this offensive line, big start for this run game, which we expect to be much improved this upcoming season. And let's hope that it pans out. Brad, what about you? How are you feeling about the opening thoughts here on this matchup with Coastal Carolina?
Yeah, I mean, this is really giving me, I mean, I think the Coastal Carolina is going to be a very similar situation to like Rich Rodriguez year one. Lost a lot of starters, but he pretty much brought back his whole, I mean, brought his whole staff over. I mean, he's got a lot of pieces that he's worked with before. And so I think that you could see a team that could probably compete with people later on, but being first game of the year, I just think that Rich Rod's going to have his team at a much farther along point than what Ryan Beard's going to have over at Coastal Carolina. I think that he will have a good year. I think that they'll get some stuff together at the end and get some things figured out. But yeah, no, I think, like we said, the line, it should be dominating. Like, it should be obvious that our line is significantly better than ours, than theirs. Like, you talked about the Robert Morrison game a couple of years ago where, like, Neil Brown's line just wasn't competing. That cannot be the case.
Definitely got to have the offensive line show out, and I think hopefully they will. I really like a lot of the pieces that they've brought in there. I think it's going to be a complete turnaround there from, you know, the weakness of the team to one of the strengths of the team, especially when you add Rick Trickett. That is the best addition of the offseason for West Virginia, in my opinion. And I think, you know, usually the, you know, first game of the year is high intensity. It's a sellout. But I think when you add into the fact the Pat White jersey retirement, you know, all the extenuating circumstances involved here, this one's going to be even more so, in my opinion. So it should be a great crowd on Saturday for the Mountaineers when they take on Coastal Carolina. With that being said, let's talk a little bit about each side of the ball here. Let's go ahead. Let's talk about West Virginia on the offensive side going up against this Coastal Carolina defense. What's the Coastal Carolina defense? Brings over the defensive coordinator, L.D. Scott, from Missouri State. Of course, both coordinators following head coach Ryan Beard from Missouri State. They've brought in a lot of new players on that side of the ball and a completely kind of overhauled defense. One of the returners, though, is cornerback Jamarion Wayne, and he returns after having 61 tackles last season, which was second on the Coastal Carolina defense. They also returned Trey Brown at linebacker and Dre Pickney at safety. And we got a couple West Virginia connections on that defense as well, with defensive back Chris Henry and, of course, defensive line Obina Onwuka, both on the Coastal Carolina team, former Mountaineers there that are present on that Chanticleers defense. But the one thing that stands out to me is that this defensive coordinator coming over from Missouri State to lead this Coastal Carolina defense, and the one thing Missouri State struggled at last year was stopping the run. And I think that should bode well for West Virginia in this opener. You know, Michael Hawkins, more or less officially announced as a starter now, is on three, has confirmed that. You got one of the best running backs in the country in Cam Cook. We've talked about the offensive line. So I think West Virginia should be able to make some hay in the run game against this Coastal Carolina defense. What about you, Stephen? How are you feeling about this matchup?
Yeah, I agree with you, especially when you consider, I mean, and you mentioned the pieces that they, you know, the Chanticleer defense replaced. They pretty much had a overhaul replacement. But they still, last year's defense there gave up, what I read earlier was 200 yards on the ground, like six different times, maybe even seven different times last year. So they had to bring in something. You would have thought that they would have brought somebody in that had a better track record of stopping the run. But when, with all factors involved, I agree with you. I think West Virginia should be able to do what they want up front and should be able to run all over them. When you Cam Cook especially, but when you factor in, you know, Michael Hawkins' skill on the ground as well, I think that he should be able to do whatever he wants.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it because I think this is a game where hopefully West Virginia rushes for, you know, 250, 300 plus yards. I think that's what you want to see in this one because you're hoping the rushing attack is a key cog of this offense moving forward. And when you're going up against an opponent that you're heavily favored against, as we mentioned earlier, and one that struggled against the run, you're supposed to have an improved offensive line, supposed to have one of the best running backs in the nation, a quarterback that can really get it done with his legs as well. I think that if West Virginia wants to have a successful season, that's what we're hoping for, is probably 250 plus yards on the ground.
I think 300 plus. At least
300 plus is probably more likely.
And I think it's also like, how does it come too? You know what I mean? Like, I think seeing a few explosive plays, like a few hard earned home runs, just like where, you know, you get more than, maybe you don't get a perfect block on something, but Cam puts his foot in the dirt or puts somebody else's helmet in the dirt, you know, just something where it's like, okay, we just earned a 60 yard run touchdown. That was, you know, something special. You know, if we, though I would love to just chug out 8 yards a run and call it a great day, it's just like you want to see some of that pop against a lesser team to know that you're really outplaying them.
100%. T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55-plus plan saved us so much money.
A lot.
And that's important. Trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast. It's quick. The setup was so easy. It took less than 15 minutes.
It was like, If you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get two phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet relying on 2 lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
100% agree. 100% agree. Hopefully some explosives coming on in this game. And, you know, we mentioned the couple defensive players there from Coastal Carolina that are former Mountaineers, but also, I mean, good time to mention, you know, not only is that the only connection, but Michael Benson, new president at WVU, came from Coastal Carolina as well. So a lot of little connections here in this game.
Absolutely. How many, like, what's the over under on throwing the ball? Is it like 10 times?
Oh, no, it'll be more than that. I think that they'll try to air it out just because.
But imagine if you hit on a couple of them, then you're just.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think you're going to try and establish the run, especially early. But after a while, if not early, Coastal Carolina is going to key on that. Hopefully open it up for some big plays downfield. 15 to 20 passes somewhere in there.
I just think you have too many weapons on the outside, too, that they're not, you know, they're not going to utilize those, too. Like, you got Jaden Bray. You got
Jaden Bray.
All these different guys out there. I think Strong's a good weapon. I think
DJ Epps,
Yeah, DJ Epps a really good weapon. I think, I don't know, I've been getting really excited about a lot of these guys on the outside, too. So hopefully they don't totally negate the passing game. But if the running game's working that well, then why not get, you know, shy away?
I wouldn't think it would be crazy if it was like, you know, 10 for 14 with like two touchdowns, you know, because it's just the ones that they hit, you know, and it's like you don't have to stretch it more.
I just keep having reminiscent thoughts of KJ Harris going off on James Madison in game one back in the day, and then he comes out and he's like, I told him before the game, you know, I don't know what it's going to be, but somebody's record's coming out today. And he come out and he break the all-time Big East rushing record.
That's right. That's
in
right.
Game one.
Hopefully Cam Cook does something similar. You know, I'd love to see it.
Yeah. I would love to see that. Yeah.
I think that we're all excited about this offense and their prospects for this upcoming season for sure, whether it be, you know, the run game, Cam Cook, Amari Latimer, Michael Hawkins, or, you know, some of the receivers there.
Or the offensive line. I mean,
the offensive line.
Because I don't think we really talked about it here, but we've talked about it off screen, where just like Landon Livingston probably being second, third string is pretty wild.
Yeah. I think that shows the talent that they brought in. When you look, you know, along the offensive line, you have one returner with Nick Cray that's expected to start. Then you have a true freshman and three transfers, which I think shows the talent that they brought in. And, of course, the ability of Rick Triggett to identify who should, you know, be up there up front for the Mountaineers and making things happen. And also going to be a lot shorter of a leash this year as opposed to last year. You know, things weren't working good and we still stuck with the same thing. Rick Trickett's not going to do that. You know, if things aren't working, he'll make a change, you know, a quarter into the game. You know, it's completely different this year.
Yeah. Love to see it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what we needed. Felt like that was the missing ingredient last year, was that we didn't bring in Rick Trickett. Now we have him. We're going up against, you know, a Coastal Carolina defense, bringing in a new defensive coordinator. And when you look at what they did at Missouri State last year, struggled a little bit against the run. So I think we all feel like the Mountaineers have the advantage on that side of things. Let's flip it over a little bit, though. Let's talk about the West Virginia defense versus the Coastal Carolina offense, which, yet again, they're bringing in the offensive coordinator from Missouri State in Nick Petrino. They have, you know, quarterback competition going on, but it looks like at this time, redshirt freshman Deuce Bailey is expected to take over at quarterback after he also came over from Missouri State. If you're sensing a theme here, several coordinators, several players coming over from Missouri State. He played in only three games there at Missouri State, so he could preserve his redshirt. The rushing attack has kind of a combined attack here with Dominic Nicely and Javon Edwards, who are expected to kind of lead that rushing attack. They have Robbie Washington returning at wide receiver to lead that group, but he is now joined by Tristan Gardner coming over from Missouri State, where he had 465 yards and six touchdowns, which set freshman records there at Missouri State. I'm expecting him to kind of be their big play guy, their deep threat. So I think those are the two receivers to keep an eye on, but those are the pieces kind of on the offense to watch for Coastal Carolina. And they're going up against kind of a revamped West Virginia defense that's tried to get faster, tried to get longer this offseason. I think they've got a lot of good pieces that are really help with that. And, of course, Zach Alley coordinating that defense. Have a lot of faith in him. I like Cam Torber at linebacker. Love having a 6'4" corner in Chams Jine. Kamari Wilson going to be great at safety. Andrew Paldrill, if he's healthy. Matt Sieg. A lot of pieces on this West Virginia defense to be excited about as they take on this kind of new look Coastal Carolina offense. How are you feeling about this side of the matchup, Steven?
This is where I'm really curious. I want to see a lot of improvement on this side of the ball, especially with how much, you know, we've heard about a lot of the pieces that we've gotten over the offseason, but especially, you know, we, as highly touted as of a coordinator as Zach Alley is supposed to be, I want to see that, you know, I want to see that this year. I want to see that dominance, and I want to see, you know, that creative ability that we've heard so much about on, you know, schematically. I think we do see that, but it's going to be a little bit of a test with this Coastal Carolina offense because they've got some pieces, man. I don't think that they're really going to throw it around as much as they like to run the ball. They have an option style offense kind of similar to what West Virginia runs. So I look for them to be kind of almost a mirror of West Virginia, maybe a poor man's West Virginia offense. In some ways running the ball because they've got a really mobile quarterback. And their running back's really good too. So I think it'll be a good test. I think early on they might give us some fits, but hopefully West Virginia can adjust. Hopefully around the second quarter, but most likely around halftime. And we should be able to see some fun stuff out of that West Virginia defense too.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping to see us cause a little bit of havoc, whether it be turnovers, whether it be sacks, TFLs, or all of the above. Hoping that we take a big step forward in all of those categories this upcoming season. I think we need to. And like I said, I have faith in Zach Alley. But when you look, you know, a lot of the big name additions in the offseason were on the offensive side, whereas on the defensive side, it seems like Zach Alley tried to just kind of find more fits for his system. And I think he has a lot of faith in some of the guys that, you know, they've developed. Like we mentioned, Cam Torber, I think he's going to be really good for the Mountaineers this upcoming season as a redshirt freshman, prototypical linebacker size, great speed, and hopefully they put that on display here in this opening game. And much like
Matt Sieg was a big announcement, though.
Yeah, that too. Matt Sieg's, you know, they did have some big pickups as well, Matt Sieg definitely being one of those. But like Brad mentioned, I think a lot of the players that they brought in have kind of been better fits for them because you look, you know, we talked about Landon Livingston on the offensive side of things. Kind of same goes for Ben Cutter on the defensive side of things. Been here for a long time and looks like he's second or third string now. And I think that shows, you know, a lot of faith in the players that they brought in and the players that they developed. And hopefully that pays off here against Coastal Carolina. But Brad, how are you feeling about this side of things when the West Virginia defense matches up against that Chanticleer's offense?
Yeah, I mean, validating a lot of what you guys said. For me, it's like the defense is just a massive question mark. Like, we don't really know who's going to be that player, who's going to be that dude, who's going to make that play, who's going to be the next Carl Joseph, you know, Bruce Irvin, X, Y, and Z. You know, like, we really don't know. But I, like you guys said, faith in Zach Alley to make sure that we find those dudes and put them in the right spots to win. I have a lot of faith in that guy and what he can do, so I'm not as concerned about that. I think I'm more excited to see it, if anything. You know, I think I kind of know what I can expect out of Rich Rod, but like Steven said, I think that we have barely begun to scratch the surface of a Zach Alley defense. So at the end of the day, it all comes down to this number right here. That's the number he preaches and lives on, and that's three turnovers. We walk out of there that day, it's a successful day. So that's really what you're looking for. But I think I'm excited to figure out who that dude's going to be. It sounds like Torbor might be him. You know, really would love to see a linebacker make a statement. It seems like West Virginia defense always does great when you've got a stud at, you know, linebacker. So
baseball has always been a game of inches. Now, it's also a game of seconds. T-Mobile and MLB have teamed up to bring ABS Challenge to all 29 ballparks across the U.S. This isn't a minor upgrade. This is the most significant new technology in the history of the sport, and it's powered by T-Mobile. With every pitch thrown, ABS Challenge uses real-time precision to verify the call, giving them the support they need. No delays, no guesswork, just accuracy at the speed the game demands. Thanks to ABS Challenge, T-Mobile is helping power the moments that define the game. When performance and reliability are non-negotiable, MLB turns to T-Mobile. That's not a coincidence. That's what happens when the most innovative network in the country powers the most data-driven sport in the world. T-Mobile powers MLB's most ambitious technology, and America's best network powers your connection to baseball, home or away, every pitch, every game, every day. T-Mobile, it's better over here. Major League Baseball trademarks and copyrights are used with permission of Major League Baseball. Visit MLB.com. T-Mobile, best mobile network in the U.S. According to Ookla speed test, based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, first half 2026. Ookla trademarks used under license and reprinted with permission.
Would love to see that come along for KM there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Turnovers definitely going to be a key cog of this defense, and hopefully we see a few here in this matchup with Coastal Carolina and see a lot of these new faces making some plays. All right, so there's some thoughts on the offense and defensive side of the matchups as we always try and cover here on our preview and predictions episodes, but of course there's still special teams as well. A little bit of a unknown right now for the Mountaineers. We don't know who's going to win the kicking job. Sounds like Nate Flower may stand on as the kickoff specialist. Jack Cassidy and Peter Notaro still battling for the kicker job. Return men. I mean, DJ Epps in the mix there. Matt Sieg in the mix there. Seems like both of those have made some plays on the return side of things. My money's on DJ Epps. But, of course, special teams always important as the season continues. I don't know how much importance it'll hold in this game, but you guys got any thoughts there on special teams there, Steven?
Not at the moment. I mean, we haven't heard anything at all on a kicker. So until we have anything there, then I don't really think it's worth touching on. I think we've got to wait till Saturday to see what we got.
Yeah, we're just kind of in wait and see mode, it seems like. Brad,
I might get my legs strong and maybe go see if I can kick on.
Go ahead and try out, man.
See, hey, you don't have to be a certain age to be athletic enough to kick the fucking football, okay?
That's right. If you got eligibility left, they'll give you a shot.
I got eligibility, okay? I got eligibility. And we ain't
He's got eligibility.
That.
He's got eligibility. He'll give it a chance.
Yeah, I just want to see that. I would love to see a fun special teams play. I'd like to see a shifty dude out there, whether that's Epps, or I would see would be fun. I know he's looking for to have the ball in his hands in some capacity, so you know, maybe it's an easy way to get those promises fulfilled.
Definitely. I mean, he's explosive with the ball in his hands. I wouldn't mind seeing him involved in the return game, punts, kicks, what have you. I think, you know, some point down the line in his career, we're going to see him playing both sides of the ball anyway, so may as well get him started there on special teams. But it's kind of a wait and see, like we talked about there, as far as the special teams are concerned. We feel like West Virginia has a good advantage both offensively and defensively. We just don't know enough about special teams yet to make a prediction there one way or the other. But one thing that we do know is that there will be some keys to victory in this one, gentlemen. So with that being said, let's touch on that key to victory here. I guess I'll go ahead and lead this one off, because for me, I think it's fast start. You know, get off to a fast start. You don't want someone that you're favored against to stick around too long, because that's kind of the recipe for an upset. And, you know, funny enough, one thing I found while researching and taking some notes for this game, do you guys know when the last time West Virginia won a season opener against an FBS opponent was?
Yes, I do.
He's got his hand up. What you got?
I know this one. It was Tennessee.
Yep, 2018. So this would be, you know, 8 years West Virginia's been waiting to win an FBS game, or win an opening game against an FBS opponent, rather. So that's, you know, something big that you can factor in there. And I think a fast start will potentially lead to that. So for me, it's let's get a fast start. Let's go out. Let's get that first win in a season opener versus an FBS opponent in a long time. Steven, what about you?
I think mine's going to fold in a little bit with that, but it's going to be almost the opposite. So instead of us getting off to a fast start, I think the key is to keep them from getting off to somewhat of a fast start. I think if our defense can kind of hold them throughout the first half, I think that our offense can be able to do enough to, you know, to keep our fans engaged the entire time. We'll be doing the wave by the third quarter. You know, it'll be a fun day in Morgantown. Everybody will be celebrating with the whiteout. But if we let them and their offense get off to a little bit of a fast start and stick with us throughout the game, like you said, I think it's going to be a long day. So we got to kind of keep them from getting there.
Yeah, don't let them hang around too much, man. Whether you're holding them scoreless or whether you're putting points on the board early, whatever it is, let's just, you know, don't let them stick around. Don't let them gain some confidence and feel like they can pull this upset. I like that. Brad, what about you? What's your key to victory in this one?
Yeah, I'll even tie those two together with, you know, playing clean football, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's probably against a team that, you know, again, when you're looking at it should be a noticeable talent skill difference here, hopefully, is what we're looking at. You know, penalties keeps teams around. Penalties create negative plays. Penalties take away great plays. You know, so just clean football. You come out, you play good clean football. You don't let them get off to a hot start. You get off to a hot start, those are probably all winning ingredients.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, to go right along with that, we just are recording this right after week zero, and we saw TCU be super undisciplined, not play clean football, and it cost them in the end up losing that game to UNC. So definitely, you know, that's a big factor for sure.
That's why you should watch, you know, Season Prediction Roundtable, because somebody on there called that.
He did. Hey, I got to give Steven credit, because, you know, Jaden Craig was super hyped throughout the offseason, and Steven wasn't buying it. It seems like Steven may have been right on that one.
Yeah, but let's say if we do this, are we getting penalties?
First down signals. You got to watch them.
We'll call it on the fans, because we're up in the stands doing it. I don't know. It's scary.
Rule changes, man.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, they better not call that. I'm telling you, they better not call that in a West Virginia game.
Rich Rod will have an aneurysm on the sideline if they call a penalty on someone signaling first down.
Oh, you think he went off all of these TikTok videos?
Which, yet again, he's proved right on that, because if you watch TCU, they were dropping TikTok videos all offseason. So.
Oh, yeah. Not a hard edge.
Hard edge, man. That was soft edge. You see what happens.
Dancing
on the
hard
edge. We're ready to roll.
Yep.
That's right.
All right, gentlemen. So with that, let's get into some score predictions here for this one, as we have the Mountaineers taking on Coastal Carolina in the season opener. We've talked a little bit about the matchups. You kind of shared our thoughts going through. But how are you feeling score prediction-wise here in this one? West Virginia, at the time of recording, favored by 21.5. Do they cover? Is it closer than the experts predict? What are your thoughts on this one, Steven?
You know, I was reading earlier that West Virginia, against the spread, was actually one of the better teams in the country last year. despite it not being such a successful season. So there's some positives of that, I guess. I don't know what kind of relevance that has to anything I'm about to say, but I just wanted to mention that. I feel like in my mind there's a number like 39-17, so I'm just going to go with that. I don't know why.
Yeah, 39 would be a fun score, I feel like.
I know, right? That's what I was thinking. I was like, should I say the 39? You know what? I'm feeling it. I'm doing it.
39, that's different. I mean, what is that like? That's like five touchdowns and two safeties? Or
yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you got to do to get there, but it's anything past 2 points. Anything past 2 points. You know what I mean? I mean, maybe 4 points is kind of harder to obtain because you got to get two safeties. Maybe that's harder to obtain.
A safety and a two-point conversion? I mean, who knows, you know?
But a safety, how would you go for the doesn't make any sense.
You get into overtime, and you're just down to the two-point conversion, please.
Hey, it's possible. There, you never know. Anyway, some funky scores turn
out. Hard scores to obtain. 39. I don't know if it's that hard. You know, what if somebody misses an extra point? What if somebody, what if somebody kicks two field goals instead of a touchdown?
It's possible. If we end up scoring 39, I just think you should play the lottery, personally.
I think we should do a money pool. I'm not going to pay anything into it. But if I guess correctly, then I should get money every week.
Then he should get the money, but he's not putting any in. I like it. I like that strategy.
I mean, it's a foolproof system that I've come up with.
Can't go wrong. Can't go wrong with that one. Brad, what about you? How are you feeling about the prediction for the first game of the WVU football season this year?
Yeah, I think, again, Coastal Carolina, I think that Ryan's going to get some stuff going there eventually. I just don't think that this is a good matchup for the first game of the year for them. Whiteout and Morgantown with a Rich Rod that's looking, itching to make a statement. I'm up there with Steven. I'm going 42-10.
Okay. All right. And it's funny because literally each of you in your predictions.
That's only three more than 39. That's like if they had 39 and kick a field goal, they got 42.
Well, that's what's hilarious, though, is you said 39-17, right, Steven?
Yeah.
All right. And Brad said 42-10. Mm-hmm. And my prediction I have written down in my notes is 42-17. So I'm taking a number from Brad's, I'm taking a number from yours, and I'm going with mine. 42-17, West Virginia wins and covers. I had it written down beforehand. Y'all just read my mind.
I don't know. We went first, so I don't know. I think me and Brad are smarter.
Hey, regardless, at least we're all picking the big West Virginia win. That's what we're hoping for, man. And I hope that we come out and show out because, like we said, this will be the first win over an FBS team in an opener since 2018. And if you do it in convincing fashion, that's even more confidence you're building for the upcoming season. But with that being said, we've went over the matchups, key to victory, score predictions. Any final thoughts on this matchup before we hit a little around the Big 12 to rack it up?
Well, I just think that on one side of this, you have to win in convincing fashion in my mind, especially if you're going to kind of have any kind of momentum going into week three, because what we saw out of UVA yesterday was a pretty good football team, in my opinion. So if you want to kind of have any kind of hype going into week three, I don't know. I think if you win the first 2 weeks, you're still going to have hype. But if you want to have substantial hype and legitimate chance, you're going to have to show something week one.
Yeah. I agree because, you know, week two, UT Martin, you're expected to blow them out. Week one here in Coastal Carolina, like we've talked about earlier, is a team that's had success recently. So if you kind of show out against them, that's going to build some hype for you as well, much like Virginia. I built hype with that big dominant win over NC State, you know, and that week three matchup looms large for sure. Brad, what about you? Any final thoughts?
Baseball has always been a game of inches. Now it's also a game of seconds. T-Mobile and MLB have teamed up to bring ABS Challenge to all 29 ballparks across the U.S. This isn't a minor upgrade. This is the most significant new technology in the history of the sport, and it's powered by T-Mobile. With every pitch thrown, ABS Challenge uses real-time precision to verify the call, giving them the support they need. No delays, no guesswork, just accuracy at the speed the game demands. Thanks to ABS Challenge, T-Mobile is helping power the moments that define the game. When performance and reliability are non-negotiable, MLB turns to T-Mobile. That's not a coincidence. That's what happens when the most innovative network in the country powers the most data-driven sport in the world. T-Mobile powers MLB's most ambitious technology, and America's best network powers your connection to baseball, home or away, every pitch, every game, every day. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Major League Baseball trademarks and copyrights are used with permission of Major League Baseball. Visit MLB.com. T-Mobile, best mobile network in the U.S. according to Ookla speed test, based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, first half 2026. Ookla trademarks used under license and reprinted with permission.
What's here?
Yeah, man, I'm excited to see it, ready to have it. Like I said, eye test. We should come out and see improvement. You know, we deserve that. We didn't see it for so long. You know, that's what we're looking for here, is just, you know, steps in the right direction. Really, like you said, week three is the big game. Let's not put our eyes past this one, but let's start building that momentum.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It all starts here, coming up on Saturday, and excited to see how it turns out. Hopefully, it's as successful as we're predicting here on the CRW podcast. With that being said, guys, for the first time this year, let's hit a little around the Big 12 to wrap up this podcast episode as we pull up the conference slate for this upcoming week one.
I love around the Big 12. It's one of my favorites.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it. So we got a few Thursday matchups actually here. Bethune-Cookman and UCF. Obviously, I'm taking UCF in that one, Steven.
Oh, you don't give Bethune-Cookman a chance?
Nope. No chance. Me neither. No shot.
UCF. Good nights.
Brad?
Yeah, I'm definitely going UCF.
UCF easy in that one. Colorado-Georgia Tech, a little bit interesting here. We got, you know, power conference matchup. I think I'm going Georgia Tech, man. I think Juju Lewis is going to be better for Colorado this upcoming season. But I really like what Georgia Tech has rolling. They have Justin Haynes back at running back. He was really good. They like to pound the rock. They're playing at Georgia Tech. Unfortunately, I'm going to pick the Big 12 to fall here. I'm going Yellow Jackets. What about you, Steven?
I got to disagree. I like Julia Lewis. I like Colorado.
Hey, Julia Lewis is going to be good.
Nobody's talking about Colorado. This is the first time, and I don't know how long, that nobody's really hyping Colorado up to be anything. Possibly might let them fall under the radar a little bit. I don't think they're going to be good longevity-wise throughout this season, but they might shock some people week one.
I like it. I like the Big 12 love there. Brad, what about you? How are you feeling about that one?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat with you, Jordan. I like Georgia Tech this year. I think that Colorado still just figured some things out this year after losing a few pieces and traveling all the way over to Georgia. I just like the Georgia Tech at home.
Completely agree. And that one's 8 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN. And then rounding out the Thursday night contest coming up this week, we got Utah in action as they welcome in Idaho for a 9 p.m. Eastern kick on ESPNU there in Salt Lake City. As much as it pains me to say it, because I know we're not the biggest fans of them, especially Steven, but we're going Utah on this one. What about you, Steven?
Yeah, got to agree. Got to agree. Idaho just isn't going to have what they need to have to go into a place like Utah and win. I think Utah's probably jacked up getting a new coach in there. So,
yeah,
could be rocking week one. And it's going to be a night kickoff.
Yeah, late kickoff.
On a Thursday. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be jumping there. Brad, what about you? Making it 3-for-3 there?
Yeah, it's going to be the littest Thursday Utah's history, you know. But, yeah, I'm going to go Utah here. We just got to give a thought to this pick.
Hey, there we go. We're all agreeing Morgan Scalley gets his first win as the Utah head coach in that one, which takes us to Friday. We have one Friday game, Long Island against Kansas, 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPNU. Obviously, Kansas finally has no Jalen Daniels. Seems like he was there for 21 years, but now he's gone. I think, though, we saw West Virginia take on Long Island a few years ago. Kansas should definitely dominate this one, in my opinion. Steven, what about you?
Yeah, they may not have Daniels, but they do have Dylan Edwards, and they're still going to be pretty freaking lethal, and a pretty darn good offense coordinator, too. So I think Kansas is going to be pretty darn good this year. Unfortunately, I'm going to pick the Jayhawks.
That's two great points there. Two big additions in the offseason for Kansas. Andy Kodernicki coming back as offensive coordinator, and then Dylan Edwards to the running back room. I like it. Brad, what about you?
Yeah, Kansas all the way. Long Island just shouldn't be able to compete.
Yeah, definitely one that Kansas should win handedly in that one, which brings us to our Saturday slate here in the Big 12. Of course, we've talked about the Mountaineers and Coastal Carolina. We also have Houston versus Oregon State at noon on ESPN. This one a little bit more interesting, but I think I'm going to roll with the Cougars. I really like Willie Fritz. They got Connor Wegman back. I think Houston's got a chance to compete in the Big 12 this season. I'm going to go with the Cougars. Who you got, Steven?
I disagree about them competing in the conference. I think Connor Wegman's a little bit overrated, in my opinion. Could be wrong, but I do like the Cougars in this matchup. I just don't think that Oregon State has enough power to go into Houston and win. I think Houston's going to be competitive, but I don't think they're going to be as highly touted as what everybody is. You know, like people are talking about them being tops in the conference, and I just don't see that.
I like it. Hopefully West Virginia takes that spot in the conference that everyone's talking about Houston having in.
I do believe so, my friend.
Let's hope so. Brad, how you feeling about that one?
Yeah, I think Houston absolutely has this one at home. I like these early games, home games. So, yeah. Give me Houston.
Houston. We're all riding with Houston Cougars in that one. Then we have Iowa State and Southeast Missouri, of course, playing in Jack Trice Stadium. 1 p.m. Eastern kickoff on ESPN+. Now, we know Iowa State in a bit of a rebuilding year this year. You know, they lost more than maybe anybody in the Power Conference, and they've had to replace a ton, including, you know, coaches and all of that. But they should be able to handle Southeast Missouri still in this opener, in my opinion. How you feeling, Steven?
I agree. I think that it's kind of a travesty of what happened to Iowa State and how many pieces they lost, but hopefully it won't be that long before they're back and competitive, but I do like them in this game.
Yeah, it might be a down year, similar to where they were when we first came into the Big 12, but should definitely be able to win this one, I think. Brad, what about you?
Yeah, you know, upsets like this do happen, but you're insane if you pick it, so I'm Iowa State.
Yeah, right on. 3-for-3 on that one as well. And then we got a nice matchup here, Big 12 versus SEC in week one. The Baylor Bears, now with DJ Lagway coming over from Florida to be the starting quarterback there for Baylor. They travel to Atlanta to take on Auburn here in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. A little neutral site contest to begin the season. 3:30 p.m. on ABC. This one is a little bit tough to pick, but I think I'm going to roll with Auburn. I really like Byron Brown coming over from USF. They brought that staff over there as well. I think Baylor, I just never know what to think about Baylor, you know, under their head coach they have now. He's been a little bit of a mixed bag, and I think I'm going to go with the SEC to pull out this win. I'm going to go with Auburn in this one. What about you, Steven?
Yeah, Baylor is one of those teams that, I've said it before, they're either really, really good or they're really, really bad. There's really no ever in between for them. I think that this potentially could be one of those years that they are really, really good, especially with, you know, like you mentioned, DJ Lagway coming in. But I don't know. Going into Auburn's pretty tough, especially week one. I think Auburn's supposed to be pretty dang good themselves, so I'm going to go with them.
Yeah, don't blame me on that one. Auburn, I think, will be improved this season. New staff. I really like that quarterback coming over from UCF as well, or USF, excuse me. But Brad, how are you feeling about this matchup here, Baylor and Auburn, week one?
Yeah, definitely a closer one. I'd say one of the more fun games to watch week one, absolutely. But I agree, Auburn at home is going to be a tough beat. I just don't think that they're there yet for Baylor. I'm not also fully sold on DJ Lagway, but we'll see.
Yeah, so 3-for-3 yet again. And we're all in agreement here early on in around the Big 12, which brings us to Cincinnati and Boston College here in week one, another Power Conference matchup, ACC versus Big 12. Cincinnati, I think they're going to be better than people expect this year. You know, I'm not saying they're going to compete in the conference or anything, but I think they're going to be better than people expect. I'm going to roll with the Bearcats to get the win at home here, 3:30 Eastern on Fox. Steven, how you feeling about this one?
No says I, my friend. I got to go with Boston College. I like their coach. I think they looked pretty good last year. They came out and they shocked some people, especially in the first few weeks of the season before the injuries kind of set in. I'm gonna go with Boston College in this one. I just don't think Cincinnati. They weren't very good last year. They didn't have a lot of pieces come in the off season. I could be wrong about them because they're another team that is also a team that could very much be sneakily good and fly under the radar. But as of what I know right now, I'm going to go Boston College. They impressed me last year.
I don't blame you. This is one that I think is kind of a bit of a toss-up. Brad, what about you? What's your prediction on this one?
Yeah, you know, in those situations, I'm looking at Cincinnati at home. You know, and I'm going to actually probably just pick it for the Big 12 on this one. I beat up on a little bit on these picks so far. So I'll give Cincinnati this flip.
I like it. Oklahoma State, who has been the darling of the offseason after bringing in Eric Morris from North Texas, you know, the North Texas quarterback, halfback, receiver. A lot of people are really high on the Cowboys rolling into this upcoming season. Think they're, you know, borderline top 25 team. Think they compete for the conference. And we'll find out early as they head to Tulsa, you know, little interstate matchup here to take on the Tulsa Golden Hurricanes. This will be a 3:45 Eastern kick on ESPNU. Although I think Oklahoma State's being just a tad bit overrated heading into the season, in my opinion. I still think they get this one done. I'm going with Oklahoma State. Steven, who you got?
I think that they are a lot of bit overrated. I do not see it. I get that they might have a good running back and maybe a good quarterback coming in. They got a brand new coach coming in year one, trying to take over what was essentially a dumpster fire from the outside looking in to all of the stuff going on with Mike Gundy and that whole situation last year. When he did have the job, then he didn't have the job, then he didn't, you know, then he's come back and, you know, everybody was welcoming him with open arms, and then, you know, it all turned into what it turned into. I don't know. I just don't see how all of that shifted into now there's all of a sudden going to be one of the top three teams in the conference in the Big 12, and they're going to be one of the top 25 teams in the country. I am not buying it for a second. I like Tulsa.
Oh, I like it.
Give me Tulsa week one. The early upset. To shut down the hype very quickly. Okay. I think the Cowboys maybe win a couple of games in conference, maybe a slight improvement from what they did last year, but I do not see the improvement that everybody else is buying into. And I think Tulsa is going to be ready week one, and their crowd is likely going to be ready with the hype that's building around the Oklahoma State program. Give me
that's
Tulsa.
That's a good point. I like that upset pick, and I think, you know, as you mentioned, it is a big leap to make for Oklahoma State winning, you know, was it one or two games over the past 2 years in conference,
right? Mm-hmm.
And now people expect them to compete. It's a big jump to make.
Especially when you consider, and I mean, this is me being a homer, of course, but especially when you consider we're in year two of a Rich Rod system, and you have all these pieces coming in. We're predicted to be bottom of the conference
15, 16.
Because we haven't had enough time to get things in order, but now Oklahoma State flipped it all around in 3 months. Give me a break.
That's the Kurt Cignetti effect, in my opinion. You know, he brought that JMU roster to Indiana. Everyone's expected Eric Morris to bring that North Texas roster to Oklahoma State and have similar success, but that's not easily repeatable. So I think it could go either way. You know, a lot of people are predicting them to be really good. I think it falls somewhere in the middle, be kind of middle of the pack team potentially. We'll see what happens. Brad, how are you feeling about that opening game for him, though?
No, I was absolutely the same boat as Steven. I don't get it for Oklahoma State. I really like Tulsa at home. I think it could be one of those real scrappy teams that likes to really put up a fight, especially when they're at home. And I was already leading into that. You're thinking I was probably leaning Tulsa. I agree. I just don't see where Oklahoma State can go from dredges to riches, you know, overnight. Like you said, it's not uber repeatable. So yeah, I was same boat. I think Tulsa at home is going to put up way more of a fight than what people thought.
I like it. So we got two upset picks here against the Cowboys early on. We'll see how the results go
on
our recap show.
Some people are calling it an upset.
And then lastly, we have Kansas State, Texas Tech, BYU, Arizona, and Arizona State all playing at home here. Kansas State taking on Nichols, Texas Tech taking on Abilene Christian, BYU versus Utah Tech, Arizona versus Northern Arizona, Arizona State versus Morgan State. Grouping all these together because personally, I think the Big 12 wins all five of those games. You know, inferior opponents there, as you see a lot in week one. Steven, you disagree with that? You see any upsets there?
Not within those. Nope. Most notably, I like BYU. Give me the Cougars.
Hey, I should have known. Brad, what about you? You think the Big 12 sweeps those final five that we're talking about here around
Christian
the Big 12?
Has any chance? We don't think. Okay. I do think it's funny it's the only one on major networks. This should be a sweep.
Yeah, should be easy
Texas
wins there
Tech.
In those.
Mm.
Yeah, those five, you know, final late night games, if you will, on week one should be easy wins for the Big 12 with Kansas State, Texas Tech, BYU, Arizona, and Arizona State, which, funny enough, you know, four out of those five probably are all expected to compete for, you know, the conference title, and they have inferior opponents, so definitely should be wins for all of those. So that's kind of how we'll round out around the Big 12 here for week one, which brings us close to the end here of our first preview and predictions episode of the season here, Coastal Carolina versus WVU. We've talked about that game. We've gave our key to victory and score predictions there. We've hit our around the Big 12, but any final thoughts, gentlemen, before we wrap up here? Steven, you got anything?
I'm really excited about this game. I think for all of us on this podcast especially, but a lot of us that watch this show, man, we grew up on five, man. We grew up on watching Pat White dominate those defenses. If there's anything to be said about this game coming up this weekend, other than obviously about the game, Man, I cannot wait to celebrate this. I cannot wait to celebrate this for a second because it's been a long time coming. We have been clamoring in this fan base to retire this number. We're finally getting that. And I will be shedding tears in those stands come Saturday, no doubt. I've already done it. As soon as they announced it, I was like, oh, man. So,
absolutely.
Really excited about
that. I got my wife coming with me to the opener there, to this game against Coastal Carolina, and I already told her. I said, you know, when they do this jersey retirement, they play the highlight video, you know, whatever they do, you're probably going to see me, you know, crying in real time there for sure, because that is, it's almost like a full circle moment, because when I became a West Virginia fan, that's, you know, kind of who the quarterback was. I watched a little bit when we had Rasheed, but when I really locked in was, you know, that 05 season with Pat and Slayton and all of those. So, you know, almost a full circle moment for my fandom here is getting to see that jersey finally retired, and kind of those memories that made me a West Virginia fan, see those kind of get fulfilled and brought all the way around here. So it's going to be an emotional day, and hopefully a day where, you know, West Virginia fans get to enjoy not only that, but then a big win over Coastal Carolina as well. So couldn't agree more on that side of things. Brad, what about you? Any final thoughts here, whether it be on this matchup or otherwise?
Nah, man, it's just exciting to have the gold and the blue back together. Playing some football, man. It's exciting. Just keeping it real, though. Eat shit, Pitt. I hate you. And let's get Mountaineers.
Well, we don't get to play them this year, but it's still on my – so I have my poster schedule inside of a frame. And on that frame, it's got the Beat Pitt sticker on there.
As it always should.
I always have that. Always.
Got to. Always got to, for Pitt. Sure.
I will say, on the note that you mentioned, I did grow up on the Rasheed Marshall era. I remember that was whenever I became a fan. It was around 2000, 2001. I remember, ironically enough, I remember one of the first games cognitively that I remember, like, seeing the score of, not really watching the game, but, like, remembering, like, seeing, like, the effect of it was when we played in the Continental Tire Bowl against UVA and got our butts whooped. My papa was not a happy camper after that game.
Haven't played him since.
And then the very next season – that was whenever I first really kind of like remember watching those guys play. Quincy Wilson, watching them play against Miami and those guys. But with that being said, like that's what – like Pat White brought people together, bro. Like Pat White is something that me and my papa made sure – like we went to his senior night when they had the whiteout and it was snowing. And, you know, a lot of people was like, well, God was on Pat's – you know, side that night because he made it snow and it was even more of a whiteout, you know, it's complete whiteout. And then, you know, he made sure that we got tickets to go watch his bowl game his senior year. Like that's kind of stuff that transcends generations, man. Like you have people that debate all the time with even within West Virginia's football program, who's the greatest? Like, was it Major? Was it Pat? Was it this person? For me, it's hands down Pat White. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind who the greatest football player in WVU history was. That is five, and we're finally getting to recognize him. I'm going off on a tangent again, but
nah, absolutely had the biggest really impact on me as well. It means the world, man. It means the world. Like you said, you know, that whiteout, and that's the last time we had a whiteout, and then finally here for this Coastal Carolina game, doing one again, yet again to honor Pat White, and I think that. I'm not going to get to go to a ton of games in person this season, but I made sure not to miss that one. Had to be there to see that number finally get retired, as you talked about, something we've all been longing for and hoping would happen for a long time. And the legend, Ren Baker, makes it happen. And not only does he make it happen, but doing it with the whiteout is just super impactful game here for the opener, as if it wasn't, you know, enough excitement already with how improved we think the team will be. Just to add to it there with the Pat White ceremony was the cherry on top, I guess, if you will. So just another something to be excited for this opener. But with that being said, guys, I guess that will get set to wrap us up here for our first preview and predictions episode of the season here for the Coastal Carolina game. Of course, we'll have the recap coming at you following the game. We'll have the recap and previews coming at you, you know, two podcast episodes per week moving forward, in addition to getting your all's fan predictions here on YouTube with our live streams every Thursday or Friday. Those will be coming at you as well. So content heating up here on the CRW. No better time to subscribe if you're here on YouTube. If you're there on the audio side, leave us a rating and review. That helps out on that side of things. And of course, either you're on audio or you're watching on video, let us know your comments. Let us know your thoughts on this upcoming matchup, your thoughts on the Pat White jersey retirement, all that fun stuff. We really appreciate that. And of course, if you haven't yet, you can hop into the NIL store, get your Pat White jersey, the throwback, get all kinds of NIL products there, and you can do it with a discount from us here at the CRW. Just use code CRW at checkout if it's your first purchase there in the NIL store. We really appreciate that, and look forward to talking more Mountaineers with you guys throughout the rest of this season. We'll be back to recap this game against Coastal Carolina after, hopefully, the Mountaineers start 1-0. But having said that, for my co-host Steven and my co-host Brad, until next time, let's go Mountaineers.
If you really want to know, then come on, let's go. Take a stroll down those...
Baseball has always been a game of inches. Now, it's also a game of seconds. T-Mobile and MLB have teamed up to bring ABS Challenge to all 29 ballparks across the U.S. This isn't a minor upgrade. This is the most significant new technology in the history of the sport, and it's powered by T-Mobile. With every pitch thrown, ABS Challenge uses real-time precision to verify the call, giving them the support they need. No delays, no guesswork, just accuracy at the speed the game demands. Thanks to ABS Challenge, T-Mobile is helping power the moments that define the game. When performance and reliability are non-negotiable, MLB turns to T-Mobile. That's not a coincidence. That's what happens when the most innovative network in the country powers the most data-driven sport in the world. T-Mobile powers MLB's most ambitious technology, and America's best network powers your connection to baseball, home or away, every pitch, every game, every day. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Major League Baseball trademarks and copyrights are used with permission of Major League Baseball. Visit MLB.com. T-Mobile, best mobile network in the U.S. According to Ookla speed test, based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, first half 2026. Ookla trademarks used under license and reprinted with permission.